Eric Ripple is principal timpani with the Minnesota Orchestra. He won the position in 2018. He was just 26 years old. 9 days later, his first gig with the orchestra was in a recording studio to play one of the most challenging parts for timpani. It was Mahler's Symphony No. 7. That recording was recently released, and it's featured this week on New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Almacher. I'm talking with Eric Ripple, the principal timpanist with the Minnesota Orchestra, about a brand new recording that the Minnesota Orchestra recently released. Thank you for joining me, Eric.
Glad to be with you.
Before becoming the principal timpanist with the Minnesota Orchestra, you held the same title with several other ensembles. I think Seattle, Detroit, New Jersey, and the New World Symphony under Michael Tilson Thomas. I'm wondering, what allowed you to work with so many top ensembles in this role?
Well, it should be noted right off the bat that I didn't hold those positions with those ensembles, but I played in that role in performances with each of those ensembles. A lot of them were in the process of a trial period or audition to win a position with those ensembles. And part of it was to perform with the orchestra. So basically, I took many, many auditions. And it's kind of funny now having this position because everything leading up to it was all about auditions. The incredible concentration required, the financial investment with usually zero return for many years and just incredible toil that goes into auditions. That's all I was thinking about. And now on the other side, now all I'm thinking about is the job, the music, how I can serve the community and that sort of thing.
I know one of the beauties of working with the New World Symphony is they actually train you how to do that so that you can get a position. And some of that is about, kind of the emotional preparation for the audition. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. New World Symphony was a fantastic time in my life. And it was also the most intense time because it is a fellowship position with three years of training, in a sense. But really, before I got into the New World Symphony, I was taking auditions too, and they really just support their fellows to win jobs or really be creative in any facet musically. And there are many resources the New World Symphony had to help me. But really, playing with a great orchestra, with great conductors, great soloists, great repertoire, that's probably the most important thing, to really experience truly fantastic performances that motivate me like crazy to move up and continue to improve. And I'm very grateful for my time there. The emotional side of it is it's pretty intense. And like I said, you don't see much return most of the time. You get close to auditions or you get cut off in the first round. It can go any variety of different ways. And you basically have to have a sense of humor throughout the process because it's so risky. It's funny. And I think just have friends in the field with you because it is emotionally very, very stressful.
Do you have a memorable story about working with a particular music director who just was incredibly impactful on you and your future career?
Well, I remember working with Osmo Vanska in the New World Symphony, and I remember just the intensity and the attention to details were so important. And I knew that going in to work with him, this was my first year at the New World Symphony that I worked with him, and that really gave me some insight to how he thinks about music and how he likes to hear things. And, you know, that helped me in preparing for the audition here, or the auditions. So that was a really great resource and a really fantastic opportunity to work with him in that capacity.
Was it kind of a goal of yours to eventually maybe be in the Minnesota Orchestra because you are a native?
It was a dream come true and something I couldn't fathom before getting this position. Even when the auditions were announced, and there were a few auditions, I was basically thinking, I don't want to think of myself as winning this job with my hometown orchestra. I was just thinking, I need to just play the best I can at each of these auditions. And it's beyond words that it's really miraculous that I can say that I play in my hometown world-class orchestra. Most people don't get that opportunity.
So I imagine your parents must be pretty proud.
Yes, they are. My dad comes to performances and I get to see my family every so often and they listen to me on the radio. And it's really an honor to be able to play in this group and be so close to my family.
Are your parents musicians as well? Is that what I read?
That's true. My dad's a classical pianist, lives in Minneapolis, still playing concerts and touring and all that. And my mom was a harpsichordist.
So how did the timpani become your instrument of choice?
I had an interesting path. I grew up in Marshall, Minnesota, smaller town, and I was very interested in music generally, drums kind of. I played marching band, jazz band, had rock bands on the side, but I basically wasn't too passionate until my junior year of high school, the end of my junior year of high school. My dad had a sabbatical from his university and decided to go to Vienna, Austria, the Mecca of classical music. And he took me with him. And I saw for 3 months, all sorts of performances. My first opera was Parsifal by Wagner. It's my first opera, and I happened to sit in possibly one of the best seats in the house where the Kaiser would have sat. It was a box seat on the ground floor, basically. And it was just, I was just overwhelmed with music and just this whole new exciting subject that I hadn't really delved into before. And I was a drummer, so I was particularly interested in what the percussionists were doing, and the timpani was so interesting to me because it could change the whole sound of the orchestra. And it also had like single notes, single moments that were, you know, treated very specially by the composer. And I just thought that was so interesting that the role of the timpani is so, so much like a chameleon, a musical chameleon at times. And it's just a very unique instrument.
I want to talk about when you joined the Minnesota Orchestra in 2018, because you were doing one of those kind of audition residencies, and then you were offered the position, and you had 9 days to prepare for your first big experience with them, which is this Mahler 7 recording. Can you share that story with us?
Sure. So I was preparing like crazy for these trials, or there was a 2-week trial with the Minnesota Orchestra to see if I could get the position. And I had known that other people had tried out for the position and didn't get it. So I knew they'd be very willing to not hire me if it was not good enough. So I was just working like a madman to make sure those trials went well. And that's all I was thinking about. I wasn't thinking about the future. I was just thinking about those 2 weeks, the months leading up to it. And, you know, the last performance, less than 10 minutes after the last performance, I was outside of Orchestra Hall. I was with my family, my dad, my aunts, uncle, cousins, even my abuela from Panama. She flew up to listen to these performances. They were all there when Osmolvenska called me and said, "Good news, we'd like to work with you." I just couldn't believe it. And I was just shocked, basically. But he wasn't. He was very focused. He said, we need you to start as soon as possible. We're doing this project in about a week. It's Mahler's Seventh Symphony. We're going to record it. Could you come play that? And I was, again, just in shock. I wasn't going to reject that offer, obviously, because it's such an incredible honor. But it's an incredibly daunting piece for timpanists, particularly. Lots of playing, lots of moments, just a lot of information for the timpani. So I went back to Florida, and I really didn't celebrate that much. I basically went right back to work, and even more intense work, because this piece requires it. And I had a week to prepare this thing, and then I flew back up to Minnesota and just started going for it. I really didn't have much time to think and process what was happening, because it was it's an incredible responsibility to play that work with my hometown world-class orchestra and do it as my first gig, my first week on the job.
What was that like for you on an emotional scale? I mean, once you went in there feeling pretty confident that you had learned this piece, this miraculous work, how did that feel when you started playing it, knowing that you were going to be on this recording?
Well, I've played in orchestra, you know, for many years, and I've worked on it, and I've worked on timpani and all that. In a sense, you go through a daily routine where it becomes sort of second nature to play an orchestra. And obviously, you're always improving and thinking about things, but it's just kind of your job. And after a certain point, even doing an incredibly difficult piece, whether it's a Mahler symphony or Stephen Mackie work, it could be anything, no matter how difficult it is, it's sort of second nature. And I wasn't thinking, wow, I am playing Mahler 7 with the Minnesota Orchestra. Wow, that's crazy. You know, you're just thinking about music. You're just thinking about producing the most appropriate sound for each moment. And in a sense, you shouldn't be thinking about anything else.
You said that Mahler's Seventh Symphony is especially challenging for timpanists. Can you explain why and maybe give a few examples of where we can hear some of those really challenging parts?
Sure. So the last movement kicks off with a timpani solo, which is pretty fun to play. And it's a popular excerpt for principal timpani auditions and for even festival auditions if you're a student. So a lot of classical percussionists studying in conservatory or university know that excerpt. That is really just the tip of the iceberg. There are so many bare moments where it's just the timpani playing, and there's so many moments where the timpani has a unique dynamic compared to everyone else. Plenty of interesting, intricate timpani writing. Has like a lot of melodic and more lyrical writing. And the last movement is just bombastic and almost suspiciously celebratory. And the timpani is playing almost the entire time. And there are a lot of pitches that you have to change. And when you change a pitch on the timpani, it's not like you move your finger up on the fingerboard of a violin. You have to move the pedal with your feet to the exact correct spot so that it's, you know, perfectly in tune. And there are simply loads of pitches in the last movement, and it's almost the entire time.
I realized when I was reading about the pitch changing, that never even occurred to me that you could change the pitch in a percussion instrument.
Yep.
That's really fascinating. So you're not only having to be paying attention to, you know, the rhythm and the tempi, but now you've got to worry about your pitch, which I'm other instruments do as well. But in terms of what you are doing for the sound of that piece, it just never occurred to me.
And the real kind of virtuosity in this piece is that you are changing a lot of pitches, and you're obviously playing with the ensemble and doing all the kind of normal things, but it's the appropriateness of sound for each of these notes that is so virtuosic. The musicality, the character you're bringing to each of these pitches, because yes, it is technically difficult. And of course, yeah, you should worry about being in tune and all the other normal things. But really, it's about the character. It's the character that is so tough to nail.
Is that something that the composer gives you room to explore? Is it in the score? Or is this a way in which you, as a soloist or a timpanist, are able to bring your personality to the piece?
I certainly believe the performer has a great responsibility to bring in their own perspective, their interpretation to these works that we continue to play centuries after them being written, because it's important to bring freshness, new ideas, while also paying great tribute to what is written down by these composers and taking them literally in some moments and maybe a little bit more loosely in other moments.
Where is the timpani placed during the performance of this work?
Geographically, the timpani in our orchestra are back and center, which is a great bird's eye view of the entire orchestra. It is my favorite place to play. You could hear most of the orchestra. You can have eye contact with different parts of the orchestra, and it's actually a really great place to be.
Is there a storyline in this work? I mean, I've read where he's kind of has images he's hoping that we'll see. Do you know anything about that that you could share?
The first movement is one of his darkest movements. And there's a certain militaristic, forward-moving relentlessness. But then there are these incredible moments of fantasy and otherworldliness. And I just love that contrast in that first movement. And the middle movements are called Nachtmusik and night music.
Is that the movement that sounds like it has the Darth Vader theme in it?
That's true. That's the second movement. That's very true. But it is interesting going the transition of this very dark first movement and then kind of these almost as if they're separate pieces depicting images of strolling through the night. And then this again, I almost suspiciously celebratory last movement that is bombastic with joy. And it's just an intriguing storyline. I don't know if there's anything specific I can reference outside of that.
The Minnesota Orchestra's new recording of this Seventh Symphony by Mahler clocks in at 77 minutes. That sounds like a real workout. How do you stay focused that whole time?
Well, again, it's not my first rodeo with a Mahler symphony. I've played many Mahler symphonies, but I think we've all developed tactics for endurance and focus. I think a lot of musicians focus on presence, practice presence, so that you can perform that monster of a creation. And on a more humorous note, I've gotten all sorts of advice from my many great mentors throughout the years, and you should go to the bathroom before you play a Mahler symphony because it is a long haul and you don't want to be thinking about that in the middle of a Mahler symphony.
Eric, what is it that you appreciate the most working under Osmo Venska?
I appreciate the attention to detail and the vigor that comes along with it. Many conductors will have their interpretations and, you know, many ideas, but I appreciate that Osmo is very rooted in the score, and in a sense, it brings a certain truthfulness to each performer in the orchestra because of that. There isn't a loose interpretation, therefore. It is a very convinced and strong statement, and that's what I really enjoy about his interpretations.
You said you had done a lot of auditions, so is this your first full-time principal role, or had you had other, you know, like regular orchestral positions prior to this?
Sure, this is my first position, really. I mean, because the last one I had was a fellowship program, and I did have to audition and win that position. But professionally speaking, this is really my first full-time professional principal timpani gig, and it's quite the first one to start off with.
No kidding. Do you mind if I ask you how old you are? Because it makes me think that you're pretty young.
Yes, I don't mind. I mean, I'm 28, and I won this position when I was 26.
Wow. Does that kind of blow your mind a little?
It does, and I am relatively young for this magnitude of a position, but I put so much focus and concentration, and all musicians really can say that. I suppose it's the kind of work, not just the amount, not just the toil, but the kind of work you're willing to do to improve. And you can do that at really any age. Certainly, you know, I wouldn't have been able to do this position when I was 19 years old. But I think the kind of improvement, the kind of self-discipline you're willing to put yourself through is what really made me be able to do well at this audition and win this position.
Well, congratulations. It's very exciting. And I guess I should, I do want to ask you just a little bit about how COVID is impacting you. And I'm wondering, Eric, what have you learned about yourself during the COVID-19 crisis?
That's a very great question. I'm really glad you asked that. I've learned that I am super motivated to play music, and I have been practicing more than normal, and I'm desperate and excited to get back to performing because we're going to need great performances more than ever after this, and I really don't get bored even while I'm inside all day. There are a variety of things I enjoy doing, and playing music is really just such a honor, such a privilege. And I think, you know, for any musician out there, this is a great opportunity to improve. Record yourself, play pieces you haven't played, just be ready to perform once we get out of this situation, come out on the other side, because we will come out on the other side and we're going to need great performances.
Eric Ripple, principal timpani with the Minnesota Orchestra, and music director Osmo Venska. This is their sixth installment in their cycle of all 10 symphonies by Gustav Mahler. If you're enjoying new classical tracks, the absolute best thing that you can do for the show is to tell somebody else about it. Help spread the word and take a moment to rate and review us on your podcasting app. Thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode of New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Amacher.